Good morning again, everybody. And Carmen and team, thank you for leading us so well. And we're glad to have you with us today. If you're a guest, welcome to the First Colony Church of Christ. And if this is your first time here, when the service is over, please stop by the Guest Central booth out in the lobby and pick up a little free gift for you. Let me start out and recognize a couple of new members. In our first service, we welcomed Robin Miller into our church family. And in this service, Michael Schott, where are you? Michael, would you please stand? Now just remain standing for a moment. Everybody take a look at this fine young man. He's identifying with us today, becoming a member here. And also, I want to recognize Jacob Taylor, the son of Eric and Danelle. Jacob, where are you? He is standing right there. We go, right. I want us to celebrate with Jacob and welcome Michael into our church family. This is fabulous. Love to see that. Love to see that. Well, we're continuing today with a message series called Business, and the title of today's message would be Those Crazy Coworkers. You know, not long ago, a group of people were asked about their top job pressures. And what was interesting is that their top three were almost in a separate category. In other words, these top three were the top three by a sizable, wide margin. Coming in at number three would be time pressures. They just said, you know, in essence, too much work, too little time. Number two was overwhelming expectations, just pressure to meet metrics and goals. And they're saying, who sets this stuff? And it's just unrealistic and unreasonable. And number one, though, was far and away number one. They said just people. And some of the responses were as follows. My boss. Other workers, the people I manage, unkind people I deal with in the job place, leaders whose values I clash with. One woman wrote in these words. She said, and I quote, my biggest stress point at work is boarding an airplane. And that's a problem because I'm a flight attendant. She said, people are just not happy anymore. Even when they're going on vacation, they're not very happy. It's just an angry industry these days. All right, very quickly. No pointing, but just show of hands. Anybody here ever worked with a problem person? All right. Perhaps you've worked with people who might even remind you of some of these characters on the screen. Well, you may be in the kind of job where you feel like you're sort of aligned there and you're in a good place and you feel like financially it's pretty good and you feel like there's room for advancement and potential. But if you're working around a lot of folks that you would categorize as being poisonous people, it can create a lot of stress in your life. Now, I don't know your particular office scenario. I don't know the details of your organization. I do know this, that work brings out the best in people. It can bring out the worst in people, and there can be some challenges. Henry Cloud's written a book in which he basically walks through the book of Proverbs, and he says there are three large categories of people. There are wise people, there are foolish people, and there are mean people. Wise people are the kind of people that if you point out something that needs to be corrected, they'll go, okay, I see the light. That's good. I'll go that way. Foolish people, you say, well, here's a better way to go. And they're a little more defensive about it. And sometimes, you know, it takes a while. And then there are mean people. And we just have to acknowledge that there are some mean people out there. And, we can't pretend like we're Superman and Superwoman. It can be frustrating, and they can bring some damage and wounding into your life and mine. You know, what kind of person am I? Am I a wise person, a foolish person, a mean person? Actually, I can be all three. I have been all three. But there are some people who make a career out of being mean, and that's to some degree what I want us to talk about this morning. Now, you may not be in the full-time marketplace right now. You may work part-time. You may be working full-time at home. You may be retired. But here's the thing. Poisonous people aren't just poisonous on the job site. They go to parent-teacher meetings. They coach youth sports teams. Sometimes they even go to church. All right? All right. First of all, what crazy is not? What a poisonous person is not? It's not a person who's just irritating. We all irritate one another along the way. You irritate one another in your family. A crazy person is not a non-favorite of yours. We all have people we just naturally click with, and then some we don't. I mean, that's normal. That's par for the course. And a crazy person is not somebody who's going through a bad day. When I say a bad day, I mean a bad week or a bad season. Listen, you know, a few short weeks ago, I had shoulder surgery. And you know, it's not that big a deal. But, you know, it hurts from time to time. And when you're in the midst of this pain, it can be a bad day or a bad week. And somebody will say, hey, Ronnie, you want to hear a joke? No, I don't want to hear a joke now. I hurt. It's not fun. Well, when you're going through some emotional pain or physical pain, and you know, some of you deal with chronic pain, or you've had a huge upheaval and wounding in your life. Well, that's a bad day. That's a bad week. That's a bad season. And you've had a bad day. And so when others are going through, you know, just a bad day, that's not typically who they are, but it's a bad season, or they're just different from you, or there's a little irritant there. So you get irritated with your spouse. You get irritated with your children. That doesn't mean they're poisonous people. Now, I think that's important because, you know, as believers in Christ, we want to be solution conscious. We want to bring the presence of Christ into an environment and start out with a spirit of compassion and understanding. I think it's important for us to remind ourselves that everybody's got a story. I want to show you a quick little training video from Chick-fil-A, where they're training their workers to not just see people, but to assume that every person you see does have a story. And I think a good place for us to begin is to always see what we can understand and how we can start with a degree of compassion and understanding in our relationship. So here we go. Let's watch this video, please. And so indeed, everybody does have a story. And as Christians, we want our default to be on understanding and compassion. But the reality is sometimes you encounter some mean people, mean and demeaning. So what is that kind of crazy, poisonous person? I define them as being mean-spirited and intentionally trying to make me feel small. This is the kind of person that when you're around, 9 times out of 10, when you walk away, you feel like, why do I feel like I have to constantly defend myself to this person? I'm around this person and it's like I'm always on the defensive and they're attacking and they're demeaning. What's the old phrase? Little people belittle people. Trying to make themselves feel larger. Now listen, the poisonous person doesn't have to be the stereotypical, you know, angry, irate person. It doesn't have to be the power-hungry, you know, big ego person. Sometimes it's that passive-aggressive gossip. They love to send the behind-the-scenes email. They love to whisper. And they love to backstab. And that's who that poisonous person is. The book of Proverbs says it like this. Do not do as the wicked do, or follow the path of evildoers. Avoid their haunts. Turn away and go somewhere else. For evil people cannot sleep until they have done their evil deed for the day. They cannot rest until they have caused someone to stumble. Well, what causes somebody to be mean like that? What causes somebody to be a crazy worker, a poisonous person? Well, there are a lot of different answers, but I will, based on my experience, one of the more common ones is bitterness. And you know what bitterness is. Bitterness is long-term anger that will not be appeased. It's when some disappointment has come my way, and rather than allowing God to heal it and address it over time, I become an unpleasable person. You've heard the phrase before, you know, that lady, that guy, he is mad at the world. And if you've ever been around somebody who's mad at the world, sometimes it feels like, though, they're just mad at you and you're catching the brunt of it. Actually, you just happen to be a nearby target. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 12. Be careful that no one misses the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness grows among you and makes trouble, because bitterness will poison a large number of people. Why? Because that bitter person tends to spread it. Now, I say that because you may not be able to avoid that person, but here's my challenge to you. Brothers and sisters, don't allow bitterness to grow in your heart. You live in a real world, and you're going to get bumped and bruised, and you're going to get disappointed. And when it comes along, lean into the grace of God, the support of God. Allow God, invite Him to heal your heart. Don't try to handle that hurt all on your own, so you become, otherwise you might become that unpleasable person. Well, how do you handle crazy? How do you deal with that poisonous person in your life? That person where 9 times out of 10, when you see them, they bring some pain. Whatever you say, they're going to misunderstand it and twist it. The person who just keeps poking you in the eye, how do you handle that? First of all, I encourage you to evaluate your own behavior and just ask, what am I contributing to this environment? And it may very well be you ask that question and you say, my conscience is clear here. But secondly, accept your own limitations. Here's something the Bible says, and it is so practical and helpful. In Romans chapter 12, it says, if it's possible. And notice, I've underlined a couple of qualifiers here. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In other words, if it may not be possible, there are some people that no matter what you do, they are intent to poke you in the eye, and it's not going away. And no matter how nice you are, no matter what you do, whatever, it's not going to be possible for you. And that's just a reality. And so I've got 3 statements up here that sometimes it's important to acknowledge to ourselves, sometimes even to say to another person, and here they are. I'm not God. I can't force anybody to change their mind. And I am not responsible for your choices, your reactions, and your responses. I'm not God, meaning we all have limited time, limited resources. We will all make mistakes. We can't control or change how another person thinks. We can try to influence. We can try to pray. But you know when a person changes? A person changes when the pain of changing is less than the pain of staying the same. And I can't force that, and neither can you. And I'm not responsible for your choices, and you're not responsible for my choices and my reactions. It is a big deal for you to accept your own limitations and not feel guilty because you can't please and appease everyone. You gotta let that go. I'm not God. I can't change your thinking, and I'm not responsible for your choices and your reactions. I'm going to love you. I'm going to try to treat you with respect, but I'm not. No, and sometimes when you care a lot, you think, oh, if I just care more, I'll be able to fix everything. You can't go there. 6, refuse to play their game and walk through their poisonous doors. And let me tell you what some of their games are and what some of their poisonous doors are. Number 1, attacking you. Let me just throw a few missiles your way and see if you'll play that game with me. Or, secondly, gossiping. And trying to gather you into that unnecessary circle of conflict. Or thirdly, just arguing. The Bible says that foolish people love to argue about anything, and they will spend hours arguing over minutia. But listen, in the workplace, unnecessary conflict will divert you from your goals, divert you from what you want to accomplish, and it is a major disease. Proverbs 1 says it like this: my child, if sinners entice you, turn your back on them. I'm not walking through that door. I'm not joining your gossip circle. I'm not going to get into unnecessary conflict. When arguing with fools, don't answer their foolish arguments or you will become as foolish as they are. Now, sometimes it may not be possible to avoid all that. But if you can, you're not obligated to stand there and just let somebody poke you in the eye over and over and over. Number six, don't be aggressive or passive, but choose the blessing of meekness. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. They'll inherit the earth. Often we read that and we think, oh, blessed are the weak. They'll inherit the earth. That's not what he said. Blessed are the meek. You know what a meek person is? The word meekness means strength under control. It's the picture of a strong horse, a stallion that could run you down and run you over. But that strong, muscular, speedy horse has been tamed and trained. And now all of that strength can be harnessed. There are two people in the Bible called meek. Moses, who went toe-to-toe with Pharaoh, and Jesus. And how did Jesus handle poisonous people? What would Jesus do? What's interesting is I can't answer that question one way. Here's what Jesus would do. Sometimes he would rebuke a poisonous person and he would look them in the eye and challenge them. Sometimes he would avoid them. There was a problem in a particular area. Jesus knew that some people were out to get him. And the Bible says he just simply slipped out of town another direction, avoided it. And listen, there were some times that Jesus endured it. When Jesus was on the cross, that was the most poisonous environment ever. And, you know, we used to sing the old song in church, he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have. That's how strong he was. That's how strong he is. But instead, what did he do? At that moment, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God does not want you to be the aggressive person going into your office going, don't you ever mess with me. You cross me the first time, you're going to get the full brunt of my wrath. I never suffer a fool and I stand up for... You could be that kind of person. That's not good. God also doesn't want you to be the passive person over here just going, just keep poking me in the eye, whatever you want to do, you know, you want to rob me and stuff. You just keep poking. No. Between aggressiveness and passivity, there is meekness. There is great strength under control. And wisdom and the Holy Spirit will dictate maybe when you will rebuke, when you will avoid, or when you may endure. William Howard Taft, one time president of the United States, but back when, before he was president, he was speaking at a political rally in Ohio. He was actually speaking in enemy political territory. Somebody stood up and threw a rotten tomato at him. I mean, do people really do that? They did it at that time. They didn't throw 10 tomatoes at him. They didn't throw knives at him. One person threw a tomato at him. It splattered on his chest, on his suit, on his glasses. William Howard Taft did not acknowledge it. He kept right on with his speech, making point after point that he believed in. He took off his glasses. He got out a handkerchief. He cleaned off his glasses. He put them back on, and he finished that speech with a call to bold, compassionate action. When he finished, he walked down off the stage. He began to shake people's hands. He walked out of that auditorium, and even in enemy political territory, first one person and then another person stood and began to applaud. Why? Because the meek person, the strong person under control, influences. Last of all, I encourage you to live for an audience of one. Live for that audience of one. If you just say to yourself, I'm always aiming to please the Lord, that's a pretty good filter right there. 1 Thessalonians 2 says, we're not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts. And may I ask you something today? Is it possible that some of you in this room are pandering unnecessarily, trying to win the approval of unpleasable people? And you have set up somebody in your life, I'm not necessarily talking about a coworker, but somebody in your life, and it wears you out because they won't give you their thumb of approval. I want to challenge you to do something. Take that person off the throne. They've become an idol to you. You put Jesus Christ back on the throne. You get hooked into the love of God, who loves you, who is for you, who will never let you go, who looks at you today and says, I am bless you, my son, bless you, my daughter, and whose love for you has been proven. How did he prove it? He sent Jesus. How did he prove it? He sent the Holy Spirit. How did he prove it? He promises eternal life. And if there's somebody that you've put on that throne saying, oh, I've got to just pander to please you, I want to challenge you, don't go one more day pandering to an idol. Treat them with respect, love them, pray for them, but you rest in the blessing and the approval of your great God. All right, why don't you take out your order of worship again? Notice it was communication cards. And if you've got a prayer request, fill it out. We would love to pray over those this week. Now, at this time, we're going to enter into a time of prayer with our elder couples. Let me ask them, please, to be taking their places down here. And you are invited to come down and pray with one of our elders this morning. We would love to hear from you, love to pray with you. And it may be that you want to pray about a job situation. It would be our pleasure to do so. Everybody, let's stand right where we are. We're going to sing. Let's humble ourselves before the Lord. And you are invited to come and pray with one of our elders at this time.